The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
But there's plenty of places to get informed. We Americans now are being informed in so many ways, and this is this particular Trumpet Daily is a really powerful example of good, honest, authentic, truthful information, you know, and these are the kinds of platforms that we are going to need. We're going to need these things as we go into the November election, because there's going to be all kinds of nefarious activities, I believe. I mean, there's going to be things that they're going to try. There will be deception. There will be distraction. There will be fake news, all those kinds of things to cause people to believe something that is not true.
Little teaser right there from our interview with General Michael Flynn earlier today as he's on the circuit to promote his new movie, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. You can get to information about his tour over the next couple of months as he premieres the documentary at a city near you. Just go to www.flynnmovie.com, flynnmovie.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us today for this special edition of the Trumpet Daily. If you go to trumpetdaily.com or our Rumble channel, just go to rumble.com/live, and you can get to the live video stream of this program every weekday morning at 11:05 a.m. in the Central Time Zone of the United States. On the East Coast, that would be just after noon, every weekday afternoon. So we do appreciate you joining us on the program today. Basically, we've got an entire half-hour segment lined up for the back half of this show. So that's coming up in the next 25 minutes or so, our exclusive interview with General Mike Flynn. Before that, we've got lots of news to get into, as per usual, on the first segment of this program. One of the things, by the way, that General Flynn talked about, and really, we talk about that a lot in this book, America Under Attack, but he referred to the dark forces that are assaulting America, and you see it everywhere that you look. He mentioned how that when he came into office there supporting Donald Trump at the end of 2016, national security advisor, he said he was a little naive. He came in thinking, well, here's an opportunity for me and for my family to help the United States. And immediately he came under attack. Immediately, Barack Obama's deep state went after him to try to destroy him. And he talks about that in the second segment lined up for today. That'll be coming, as I say, just in the next 20 or 25 minutes. He also talked about how he received so much inspiration and support from his immediate and extended family. And quite a few of those family members are featured in that Flynn documentary, which premieres next week. He's also going to be making a stop right here in Edmond, Oklahoma, as the movie also will be playing in Armstrong Auditorium on Sunday, April 14th, I believe it is. Again, just go to flynnmovie.com and you can find out everything that you need to know about his upcoming tour. But speaking of these dark forces, it wasn't that long ago the Supreme Court weighed in on that particular statute that the DOJ was using, broadening the interpretation of it so that they could really send the January 6th protesters behind bars for years, obstructing an official proceeding. And the Supreme Court comes along and says, hang on a second, that's an overreach. That's unfair. That's unjust, the way that you're using that particular rule. They were overcharging protesters. They were, in some cases, withholding evidence. You know the story. The DOJ just going after they're still going after Donald Trump supporters 3 and 4 years on from January 6th, or at least going into 4 years. And they're proud of it. They send out an official statement, it seems, every month saying, yeah, we've got more MAGA supporters behind bars because they trespassed on January 6, 2021. This is from the Daily Caller. It says the Department of Justice warned, listen to this, even after the Supreme Court weighs in, the DOJ warned a January 6 defendant Tuesday that his sentence would not be reduced regardless of what the Supreme Court's decision is in a coming case related to a statute he was charged under. It says further on, January 6 defendant Anthony Williams asked the court in February to grant his bond pending his appeal in light of the Supreme Court's decision to take up Fisher versus the United States, which challenges the scope of an obstruction statute used to charge him. It says, along with hundreds of other January 6 defendants, the DOJ warned in a court filing that in spite of the pending case and an appeals court ruling finding it wrongly lengthened January 6 sentences by applying an enhancement for interfering with the administration of justice, it would increase its sentencing. So here's the dear leader's DOJ, Barack Obama. He's tightening the screws on these protesters. I mean, what they're doing to some, 3 years on, and what did they do? They call it an insurrection when there were no weapons whatsoever, when it was just people waltzing through the Capitol, taking selfies in some cases. Okay, if there's some that vandalized windows or broke through windows, prosecute. But look at the murderers that are going free. I've got a few stories lined up on that as well. They want to let the murderers, the rapists, the illegal aliens out of jail. And yet they go to January 6 protesters and they say, look, if you try to use this Supreme Court ruling or the fact that they're taking up this Fisher case to suggest that your sentence should be lightened, you better think again. I mean, this really is third world dictator stuff that we're witnessing. These are dark forces. General Flynn is right. Dark forces that are assaulting America. Listen to this comedian, again, one of the many that aren't very funny, but listen to him as he talks about, we've talked about the Rona McDaniel saga, 5 days working for MSNBC before all of the elites at that network, or at least the elite broadcasters, the presenters, they go on the air all day long. They don't go and talk to the bosses at NBC and say, hey, you know, we've got a problem with this hiring. They just speak to their radical audience. And lo and behold, the NBC execs, they submit to the intimidation and they fire McDaniel. She's not even a conservative, really. She's more of a rhino. But they're not going to tolerate any kind of dissenting voice on that channel. Listen to clip number two.
But that's where we are now. And Ronna McDaniel trying to get a job at NBC is just the latest example of Jan Sixers trying to get back into the mainstream.
There, two-thirds of, you saw this in the Republican primaries, two-thirds of Republicans believe that the 2020 election was illegitimate. That's a pretty comfortable majority. And these same people, they know that the protesters went to Washington on January 6th to encourage senators and congressmen and women to take up these cases, rampant election fraud. But they were being set up, weren't they? Of course they were. It was a fake insurrection. And these people that that run the regime media networks, they're not going to have anyone on that would dare suggest that there were irregularities in that 2020 election. Speaking of that Ronna McDaniel saga, listen to Fox Business as they're commenting on, we played the montage the other day, I think it was Nicole Wallace, she talked about the sacred airwaves of MSNBC. And then they comment, these Fox Business reporters, on firing McDaniel just a few days into her hiring. Clip seven.
I was struck by the sacred network, because again, their higher power is a political power, and they pray at the altar of self and the Democrat Party. But what is more disturbing is they think they're right. They think they're morally superior. And anybody who doesn't agree with them deserves to be taken out. And that's what's so frightening.
As horrifying as this whole spectacle is, it's actually very clarifying for the American people to see that these people are professional propagandists, and their fealty, their loyalty to leftist ideology trumps everything else, including a desire to expand their audience and their revenue share. Because NBC, what they're telling you here is that they are willing to write off half of the country, more than half of the country, that is America First, that supports Donald Trump, over to 75 million voters last time around. They simply don't care. They're willing to write that off. So it shows you that the ideology and their political viewpoint and agenda literally drives everything, and that they will not countenance a single Republican. I mean, God forbid they have one single dissenting voice on any of their NBC platforms, right? They will not have it.
But I think it's interesting. I think it's something bigger than this. I think they don't want conservatives on their network because their ideas are so weak. If their ideas are challenged by conservatives and strong conservatives, I think they're afraid of that. That's what they cannot let Donald Trump on their airwaves, because when they did in 2016, he actually won their viewers. His message was so common sense.
Okay, as an aside here, I think what they might have added there is that 2-3 years ago, they didn't want anyone on their network, Fox Business, suggesting that there were irregularities, that there were problems with the 2020 election, that there was fraud, whether it's the ballots or the machines or whatever it was. Look at the way the deep state was involved in censoring messages going out on social media. But leave that aside. At least they're coming around. Ronna McDaniel, she goes on MSNBC Sunday and she says there were problems. And Nicole Wallace, by the way, before she talked about the sacred airwaves of MSNBC, she came out of that comment from Ronna McDaniel saying that there were problems, and she says, there were no problems. They're just so emphatic. There were no problems in 2020. And yet, listen to these same people talk about 2016. In that case, they say, yeah, Putin handed it to Donald Trump. There were no problems. I mean, these people really are mentally unstable. They're deranged. They have a severe case of Trump derangement syndrome. And Ronna McDaniel, of all people, Mitt Romney's niece, she can't even make the grade at MSNBC because she says, yeah, there were a few problems. Yeah, Rachel Maddow's not going to have that on her network. Neither is Joe Scarborough. Nicole Wallace, no way. It shows you that these people are, as was brought out in that montage, they're professional propagandists. There are some dark forces assaulting America. America's going up in flames in so many ways. I mean, there is hope in the return of Donald Trump, at least as we've said in America Under Attack, temporary hope. But then look at America, look at America's cities. And when you contrast it with the DOJ threatening January 6 protesters, even as in every other case, virtually, law enforcement's being undermined or they're being handcuffed. This is from CBS News. Illinois Prisoner Review Board Chair Donald Shelton and board member Leanne Miller resigned on Monday after the board approved the parole of a man who is accused of stabbing his pregnant ex-girlfriend and killing her 11-year-old son a day after he was released from prison. You think the DOJ is going to swoop in and threaten this individual? Hey, we're going to put you behind bars for an even longer sentence next time. He stabbed his pregnant girlfriend and his son. He killed his son. All because the parole board is so eager to let these hardened criminals off early. It says, meanwhile, after CBS2 investigators pressed the state for days and finally They finally admitted mistakes involving the release of an inmate of Statesville Prison. While Governor Pritzker's office did not give a reason for either resignation, the governor's office confirmed that Miller conducted the recent parole hearing for Crosetti Brand, who is charged with stabbing his pregnant ex-girlfriend and killing her 11-year-old son on the day that he was paroled. It was Miller who wrote the report recommending Brand's release from prison. Yeah, we should let this guy out. And he kills an 11-year-old boy the same day. This is from the New York Post. A New York City police officer murdered. Horrifying footage shows supposed moment NYPD cop Jonathan Diller fatally shot by career criminal suspect. Three gunshots can be heard on this surveillance footage. Says another officer further on in the story appears to try to help Diller. The alleged shooter, ex-con Guy Rivera, was shot in the back when Diller's partner fired two return shots. He was still hospitalized Wednesday. The police officer, he's dead. But the career criminal, he survived his gunshot wound. Rivera had been arrested 21 times prior and has had 9 felony charges against him. I think that they were felony charges quite a lot worse than obstructing an official proceeding or trespassing on Capitol grounds. 9 felonies, arrested 21 times, catch and release for all the other criminals, but protesters, I mean hardened criminals at that. Protesters, you threaten them. If they were January 6th protesters, you threatened to put them behind bars for years. These are the dark forces that are assaulting the United States of America. Donald Trump, by the way, he announced that he's going to attend Diller's wake. And meanwhile, the fake president, he's lining up to, he's going to kick off his campaign for what, the third or fourth time? With Bill Clinton and guess who? The dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama, as we covered on yesterday's show. I mean, Obama's on the phone every day with his people in the White House. He's running the show. And CNN and the New York Times are happily reporting it. Everyone knows. Play that clip from Steve Bannon's show yesterday. I'm not sure which number that was. 6.
There's a hard wire between the Obama apparatus through the White House and this takedown Trump. And hey, this ain't me saying it. This is not little old war room. This is the paper of record of our beloved republic. The New York Times today, blockbuster story, Katie Rogers. Good going, Katie. Katie Rogers has a blockbuster story. Guess what? Obama's running the deal. This is not War Room or Gateway Pundit. Revolver didn't come up with this. Matt Boyle didn't break it. It's the New York Times. The New York frickin' Times puts it all out there. It's Obama, and how Obama's, you know, never really been a fan of Biden's, but he's got to save the transformation of this country. If he called it, this is all Obama's deal. Jack Posobiec and these guys have said for years, Obama's running the deal. These guys are right here running the deal. Katie Rogers puts it right out. Obama is directly calling staffers in the White House. I want you to think about that. This is hardwired to Obama, Obama's Justice Department, and Obama's third term. Obama, Obama, Obama. Obama's going to start campaigning with this guy. Their big kickoff thing is going to be Obama. This is Obama versus Trump.
Obama versus Trump. You really see that theme running right through America Under Attack from beginning to end of this book. If you don't have a copy of this book, make sure that you call our operators today. It's free. There's no cost. There's no obligation. I forgot to mention at the top, chapter 6 is titled Silencing a Critic. That's about General Mike Flynn. We have our exclusive interview with him lined up for the second half of this show, just in a few minutes' time. Obama wanted to silence Mike Flynn because he knew what Mike Flynn could get to the bottom of as national security advisor. So he was the first target as soon as Donald Trump came in there in 2017. Obama versus Trump. Listen to Laura Ingraham from her show last night talking about Obama's fundamental transformation, basically, from hope and change to, what did she say? It's rage and control, clip four.
Well, it used to be hope and change, right? The Democrats had for a while, Byron, quite a hopeful message. You might not agree, and I certainly didn't agree with their policy ideas, but it was all about making the country better. And now it's not hope and change, it's rage and control. They are so angry.
There's your fundamental transformation. The dear leader comes in, he's promising hope and change, while at the same time vowing to fundamentally transform the United States. It's the way the devil operates. Come in with flatteries, with smooth-sounding words. Come in as an angel of light. And then, like my father says in America Under Attack, the first chapter, the media, the regime media, they swoon. I mean, you saw the beginnings, even though Trump wasn't around politically at the time, you saw the beginnings of Trump derangement syndrome back in 2008, when you had reporters talking about a tingling sensation coming up their leg at the sight or the sound of Obama. Contrast that with the way they treat the bad orange man. He, as I said earlier this week, I mean, he's living rent-free in their brains. That's all that they can talk about. How that he's Hitler. But really, who's angry? Who's filled with rage? Who's desperately trying to maintain control over the levers of government in Washington? That deep state apparatus. All the complexes that you hear about from time to time. The New York Times recently saying, yeah, the deep state is awesome. It's just awesome. And we've got to protect these bureaucrats. They're like superheroes. They were never elected. Donald Trump, if the numbers are right, is to be elected, perhaps by a landslide. And what will the deep state do to try to prevent that from happening? We actually get into that a little bit in our interview with Mike Flynn, which is coming up here in just a bit. Let me just play you one final clip if we have time. Play clip eight.
You know, it is that the, like, the last 5 years that it became more and more clear to me how many people, especially in the Democratic Party, in Washington specifically, how little they think of the Constitution. And, you know, I think the last 5 years especially are pretty pivotal because you look at what happened with COVID, for example, as a starting point of how people, both at the federal level, at the state level, county level, in a lot of places, when given just a little bit of power, man, they took advantage of that and continued to abuse that power in a way that just didn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Well, if you have God's perspective, it does make sense. America is under attack. The Constitution is being shredded. We're witnessing a fundamental transformation of the United States. It's Obama versus Trump. Antiochus, as we've said, versus Jeroboam. When we come back, we will have our exclusive interview with General Michael Flynn as he's making the rounds to promote his movie, the documentary about all of the persecution that Barack Obama unleashed on him and his family. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on the Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need the Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need the Trumpet Daily. Only the Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to TrumpetDaily.com.
former National Security Advisor, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, pleading guilty today to lying to the FBI.
Flynn knew exactly how the system worked. He knew exactly what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding. They had to get rid of Flynn.
There was a moment where I just felt like I was drowning. So I'm in there with these other political appointees. They're all supposed to go in there and tell what they believe to be the truth. What they did was they took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
He was, by definition, the most dangerous possible person for Donald Trump to hire.
President Obama said, but I do have one specific recommendation. Stay away from Michael Flynn. He's bad news.
Over time, instead of being pounded down below the surface of the ocean, we started to fight. I'm now above the surface.
There you have it. That's the teaser for the forthcoming documentary titled Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. And we're delighted to have the man featured in this this movie, General Michael Flynn, with us today on the program. General Flynn, it's great to have you back. Of course, you were in our studio back in August, and we've kept in contact in the many months since. But it's great to have you back on the program.
I so appreciate you guys, and we had a wonderful visit at the campus there a few months back, and we're very much looking forward to coming in there here very shortly in the next couple of weeks. So looking forward to meeting you guys again, sitting down, catching up, and maybe take another walk around the campus and meet some of those great young patriots that you have attending that great college, elementary school, high school. What a great place for young people to be.
Well, you're welcome to take a swim in the pool again as well. So, as you mentioned, you're going to be here, and that's actually on April the 14th, so that's only a little over 2 weeks away. And the reason that he's in town is he's going to be premiering the Flynn documentary that I just mentioned, and that tour kicks off next week, I believe, in Venice, there in Florida. So maybe to begin with, you could just tell us a little bit about, before we get to the tour, maybe you could tell us a little bit about what prompted you or inspired you to produce this film.
Well, I mean, first of all, the story itself needs to be told because it's a very historic component of U.S. history, not just all of U.S. history, but certainly recent U.S. history, and the way that everything is changing so much in our country. And I felt compelled that the timing for this particular story, the rise of my time in the military, and not only in the military, but then, of course, into U.S. politics, working directly for a president of the United States as the national security advisor. But then really the injustice that I faced and the persecution that my family and I went through, all based on a lie. And so the story itself is really a compelling, raw story of the kinds of things that our country is going through, that a family went through, in this case, my family. Now, there's some very touching, sensitive, emotional moments in this. And I think people will walk away with an impression of not only a lot of like, wow, I did not know that about General Flynn, or I did not know that about this case, or I did not know that about our country. And with the idea of what to do, what does a person do now after watching this movie, watching this film? How does a person then start to engage in their own lives, in their own communities, in their own churches, in their own ways? And I think that's part of it, because a couple of people that are prominently displayed are, of course, Tucker Carlson, who's a friend of mine, Devin Nunez, another friend, Lee Smith, who's a best-selling author, some lawyers, a lot of members of my family, members of my legal team. And so it's really fascinating story that tells a tale not just of the persecution of General Mike Flynn, But really what is going on in America today and how it is impacting the lives of everyday American citizens. And if we don't rise above this, if we don't find something that inspires us, and that's what I hope to do with this film, to stand up and stand your ground and to fight back, you know, I don't know what is. I really don't. I'm out there around the country telling people to get involved in their communities. And I wanted this particular film to be another touch point for people that I couldn't physically go and speak to or go touch. They can see me through this film. And it's a really, really, it's a great, well done documentary feature film. And we are so excited to come out there here in the middle of April. And what I am doing, to speak about the tour briefly, I am going around the country to do an in-person live premiere experience. Right now, we have about 35 cities around the country, and we wanted to really get to you guys among the first group because you really helped me to understand when I was out there, people that I had impacted and I had really influenced in many ways that I did not ever meet. And when I met those young people, you know, out in the Herbert Armstrong campus here, I just felt so, I just was enlightened. I just felt like, God, it just gave me new energy. And at the time we were already in the throes of producing this thing. And I knew that, the moment had come when it needed to get out to a larger audience. And that's really what this is about. And so we're going to be all over the country starting next Friday in Venice, Florida is the opening, so to speak. But we're going to do these openings all over the country. The one in Venice is already pretty much sold out. There's only a few tickets remaining. We're going to probably have somewhere between 800 and 1,000 people there. Most of the places, the tickets are selling, and I appreciate that so much. It will allow us to get around the country and promote not only the film, but also the message that the film brings across.
Yeah, and you, the viewer, can get to all the information regarding that forthcoming tour at flynnmovie.com if you'd like to look into the cities that General Flynn is going to be visiting here over the next few months. Just go to flynnmovie.com and you can also find all the links there to secure tickets for these very special events. You mentioned there's the prominent commentators that are in the film as well that everyone's familiar with, but I think one of my favorite parts of it is just how many appearances your family members. You come from a large family. I think you're one of nine siblings, correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And I think overall, if I've got the number right, I think six of my family members are in this movie, and to include one of my nieces, who was also a lawyer, my niece Alicia, who also became part of our legal team that joined with Sidney Powell as we went into battling back and really fighting to get the truth out. That's why subtitle of the movie, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Sometimes that's what it takes, right? It comes at a cost, comes at a level of sacrifice that, you know, I mean, my threshold is pretty high, and I've learned a little bit about my own personal threshold to withstand, you know, the mental and emotional anguish. It's not for everybody that to be able to stand against that kind of really ungodly pressure that comes out of a dark soul of our federal government and this injustice system that we see currently. And we are going to have to figure out ways to overcome this and to rise above it and then to fix it by using the ways that our founders gave us, right? Which is really the constitutional processes that we have. A lot of these different messages, and I know everybody that sits and watches this film will walk away with a different idea about what and how their lives are being impacted by the things that do happen in everybody's life. I mean, the one thing about this movie, it's not just for Republicans and somebody who's wearing a Make America Great Again hat. This is really a movie for all Americans who believe in freedom, who believe in our Constitution, who believe in the rule of law, and really who don't know me or only heard about me through, you know, media or a headline over the last few years. There, I think that they're going to walk away with a vastly different impression You can't help but do that. So yeah, my family plays a very prominent role. I do think that one of the people who people will meet for the first time is my wife, Lori. And I do believe that her role in this is really powerful, because she's not somebody who ever spoke about anything. She didn't really, you know, she's very, very intimate person about her faith, about her family, and about, you know, everything. And talk about a woman who has sacrificed in all the years I spent in the military when I was deployed overseas. And she would be the one to be back home raising a family and also raising a community of military families, because I was in charge of some organization. So she had to step into a leadership role that she probably didn't realize she was going to have to. When we were young, you know, kids getting married right out of pretty much right out of high school.
Did you, just staying on your family for a moment, I mean, it's hard to believe that Barack Obama's government unleashed this persecution on you and your family, I guess, over 8 years ago. How much strength did you draw from your, you mentioned your wife, but just your extended family? I mean, were they quick to rise to your defense or to provide you with encouragement in those years, that critical time period from the end of Barack Obama's presidency and then the transition into Donald Trump?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think people that come from, you know, that have brothers and sisters, that have siblings, but particularly people that might come from a big family, big families can go through all kinds of tragedy and breakups, actually. You know, you mentioned, Stephen, that we have nine brothers and sisters in our family. Well, we tragically lost one of my sisters, you know, when I was younger, but she raised me because both my parents were working at the time. My sister Lenny died tragically in a car accident. She was in a coma for 6 months, and a really, really tragic time in our family. And for a large family, that could have broken us up. And I give a lot of credit to my mother, especially for maintaining the glue, for being the glue that sort of maintained the bond of this book we call the Flynn family. And I think going through that tragedy, and then, you know, and then other things that large families tend to go through, just because there's all kinds of, you know, there's all kinds of things that happen with human beings as they're growing up and they're getting married and children and all sorts of stuff. So instead of my family falling apart over this, we really, really came together, all of us. And we knew that, you know, everybody knew from the very beginning that something wasn't right. And then when we began to realize just how corrupt our system was, because I, you know, honestly, maybe that's a point of naivety for me, where I just sort of, you know, I'm going into government thinking that I'm going to be able to help. I'm going to continue to serve. I'm going to be able to help, you know, make our country, you know, the strong leader that it needs to be globally. And boy, what happened was just unbelievable, tragic, really. And my family came together in a very, very powerful way. And when we decided that we were going to fight back, we all stood together shoulder to shoulder and fought back. And to this day, we are still a very strong, you know, Irish, we're Irish, right? We are like an Irish clan, you know, we fight like the Dickens in the house, but when we walk out, we're all together as one unit, a family unit. And family is a really big part of what I think, a big message that comes out of this movie. And I think it's a big message for all of America that we must remind ourselves that there has been an assault on the family for decades. And I hope that we are an example of why families are so important still in this country, for this country to continue to be the beautiful constitutional republic that we are.
Right. Well, you're right. Family is a powerful theme in this film. And at the same time, because of this attack on your family, it's also infuriating, because we look at your family, we see the background, we see, you know, growing up in Rhode Island, and you're a family of patriots. I mean, you in particular served your country in the military for so many years, but to see this audacious attack on a group of American patriots, I mean, how do you Is there a spiritual dimension that you think is behind this? Or do you think it's something that just kind of happened with the government gradually over time? Or what is it that you feel like you say, you were kind of a little naive initially thinking you'd come in and help the situation and improve America's standing, but it obviously didn't happen that way for you or even for the Trump administration. I mean, he was under attack for 4 years and is still under attack.
And as we all are, I mean, all of us are. I think that the most important thing that I learned was the strength of my faith that I never felt that I really demonstrated in my life. I've always been a faith-based person. And, you say a prayer before you get on a helicopter on a battlefield. Or you're getting ready to go out the gate, in some dangerous places that I've been, and you just sort of, I don't know, out of habit, you say a prayer. You don't tend to think about it sometimes. But when you're in a really difficult situation, and you do feel all alone, because there were times that I felt all alone, and I talk about that in the movie where, this isolation, where I use the metaphor of being under the water and felt like I was drowning. I really returned to my faith. Now, I will tell you that a part of that was my wife. We together strengthened and renewed our faith, not only in each other, but in God. We would not have been able to get out of that mess had he not entered our lives. And the way that he entered our lives was through breathing air, breathing oxygen through the American people into our lungs. And the American people reminded us once again of why faith, family, sacrifice, our freedoms, our very freedoms, why everything is always at risk. And unless we have that strength of faith in each other, then we cannot overcome the difficulties that we face in our lives, that we are going to face in the life of this country. When we look at the past and we look behind us, so many sacrifices in our past, in our history, certainly in my family alone, since my family came over to this country, I've had a life of, we've had a family of tradition of service to, particularly in the military. As we look at the past and we look at the sacrifices, really what we have to do is we have to focus on the future and what's that future that we want. And in order to get to that future that we want, we're going to have
to. You can still hear me, General Flynn. The reception on our end froze up here, so Sam will try to fix that.
Are you there?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I don't know what happened. That was something.
Yeah,
so I guess what I, maybe we just continue. I don't know where I dropped off. I mean, I think I was talking about sacrifice.
Right.
I mean, I say that, we have to remember the past, remember the sacrifices of our past and so many over 250 years that have given their lives for our country. But why do we do it? We do it because we love our country, not because we hate something. We love our families. We love our country. We love our communities. We love what it is and who it is that we are as Americans, but we also do it for the future. The future are the generations of children that we have now that we can at least see into the future, one generation, maybe two generations, because they're going to have a responsibility at some point in time to take the reins and to continue to inspire and to continue to fight for this country to be the shining city on the hill, as Reagan said, as a very famous pastor, Winthrop, in 1630 said, when he coined the term, we're going to travel to this place called New England. We're going to go to a New England, and he called it a city on the hill. We're going to go seek a city on a hill. And that actually, as I did my research on that very beautiful phrase, city on a hill, it actually comes out of the Bible and comes out of Matthew. So I believe that America is still that true North Star, that beacon of light, that shining city, on that hill. And we are, but to keep that light burning brightly, we must all understand that freedom, in order to maintain freedom, in order to maintain that those promises that we have made to each other in our Bill of Rights and the fulfillment of those promises in the Constitution, in our, you know, as a republic, it's going to take work. It, you know, like a long lasting relationship, like what you guys are doing at, in just outside Oklahoma City with that great campus of yours. You know, it takes hard work. It takes sacrifice. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes, you know, people getting up early in the morning. It's like, you know, you know, the early bird catches the worm, right? So I think that's what the American spirit is all about. I still believe that's what the American spirit is all about. I do think that the majority of Americans see it that way. And I do believe that we are under assault by dark forces. And I think that people need to understand that. And whatever faith you have, you know, one of the things that our founders reminded us of in really the very First Amendment, the very first part of the First Amendment actually is our ability to practice a religion, not the freedom of speech. The freedom of speech comes secondary to what the founders said in the First Amendment, which was the most important. And they argued about that, and they wanted to make sure that came out, you know, very clearly. And they did it in the First Amendment because they did combine their you know, Judeo-Christian principles and values with the development of a beautiful Constitution and a beautiful Declaration of Independence and a Bill of Rights in order for us to have the strength of the foundation that we have in this country. So, you know, the movie is a way for me to message a bit about who I am, what happened with me, to give me an opportunity to go around the country and meet people face to face. I've done that already with the Reawaken America tour. We've been to 25 cities already. We're going to go back up to Michigan in June, a very important state in our country. We'll be up there in the early part of June, but the film Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, we start next Friday here in Venice, Florida, and we're going to go all around the country. I think we're touching, Stephen, I think we're going to touch 40 states and at least 35 cities right now. We added a couple, I think, this week, so we may even have more than that. It's going to be exhausting, but it's absolutely necessary that we do this.
Well, we sure appreciate you doing this. I know you only have a few minutes left here. Just to go back to those dark forces that you said are assaulting America. Of course, this movie comes out in an election year. We're just a few months away. When you were here last August, you did express quite a serious concern about what they may do to sabotage the election, the deep state, this time around, like they did in 2020. As we're now getting deeper into 2024, do you see any signs of like hopeful signs that maybe the Trump force is an unstoppable force? It does seem like the more they attack him, the more he rises in the approval ratings.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm going to be at Mar-a-Lago tonight, and I will probably see him. So I will tell you one thing about Donald J. Trump. He'll never quit. And so the more that they victimize him, and he is truly being victimized by, you know, quote unquote, the deep state and many others that are external forces outside of the country, never mind those inside. He will never relent. He will never give up. He believes so deeply in this country, and he loves this country. So the more they victimize him, the more Americans will rally to his side. But I will tell you that one of the things that I think is a real positive for us, and this is me speaking with you on this podcast or this media outlet, is an example of how we are keeping ourselves constantly informed about what is happening. So it should be very hard to surprise the American people because there's so many ways that we can be informed these days. Obviously, you got to use good discernment and good judgment about what kind of information you are getting, because sometimes, you know, it could be false or fake or artificial in the way that we're being informed these days, but there's plenty of places to get informed. We Americans now are being informed in so many ways, and this particular Trumpet Daily is a really powerful example of good, honest, authentic truthful information, you know, and these are the kinds of platforms that we are going to need. We're going to need these things as we go into the November election, because there's going to be all kinds of nefarious activities, I believe. I mean, there's going to be things that they're going to try. There will be deception. There will be distraction. There will be fake news, all those kinds of things to cause people to believe something that is not true. And, you know, warfare is like that. And I do address that in the film. I talk about warfare being, all about deception. And I talk a little bit about Sun Tzu, right? One of the very famous historic military theoreticians. And I talk about warfare in the film itself. We are in a form of warfare right now in our country, and it's information war. It's a spiritual war, because they're, like I say, it's light versus dark. It's truth versus lies. It's good versus evil. I mean, the attack against Christians right now, particularly Catholics, I'm a Catholic, but the attack against Christianity in this country is just, to me, it's outrageous. It's so anathema to what this country was built upon. And yet it appears that this government, led by a guy who says he's a Catholic, a president who says he's a Catholic, we have to have that courage that it is going to take, that decision that people have to make about being courageous and inspiring others and resurrecting not only ourselves as individuals, but our families, our communities, and our country, as we head into a really critical set of months coming up, starting really this, from this weekend all the way into November, which I think is, probably 230 days or so away.
Well, you mentioned visiting with President Trump tonight at Mar-a-Lago. Is he going to be at any of the screenings for your documentary?
I don't know yet. I probably none of the screenings that we have, but I know he's aware of what we're doing. And tonight we actually have an event at Mar-a-Lago to stand up and protect and defend children in this child trafficking, this horrific child trafficking that's going on across our country, particularly with all this illegal invasion that's going on. I mean, so that's what we're doing tonight. We're basically we've started a campaign around the country. We've been to 5 states already, and it's a nonprofit that I do chair called America's Future, and this is our anniversary. I mean, we were one of the oldest in the country, so I wanted to do a highlight down at Mar-a-Lago, and we have actually Vivek Ramaswamy is our headliner there tonight, going to be giving some great remarks.
Yeah,
and we believe Donald Trump will come in just for brief remarks, because he's been one of the real champions to try to end this scourge of human trafficking, especially child trafficking. So that's where I'm at tonight.
Well, maybe if you have time, maybe you could just tell us a little bit about, you spoke of this in August when you saw us, but you talked about the production crew that was behind this, the making of this movie, that, and then when it first got started, if you can just kind of summarize those events, and then we can wrap things up here.
Yeah, it really first got started a couple of years ago, and I started to really think about how do I tell this story. And then, that's almost 3-4 years ago, and so here we are. The production crew. I wanted, when I was thinking about who was going to do this, because I know different people that do documentaries and such, and they're sort of all on our side, right? I mean, so I reached out to some friends. I wanted a production crew and a director who were not, part of the conservative right or the MAGA crowd that weren't people that I knew. And they do come out of Hollywood. A whole group of them came out of Hollywood. Really just good, solid young people primarily. And their journey from doing the production of this movie right up until, in fact, even yesterday I was speaking to one of them. So for over a year, their journey producing this movie completely changed their point of view about where Mike Flynn stood, number one, but even better, what was going on in our country. And I don't think that they had ever heard stories like we're told. I mean, we filmed over 100 hours of footage and then got it down to just that 2 hours. So they heard quite a bit. And people go and get the DVD as an example. Those that order the DVD, there's bonus footage in the DVD of Tucker Carlson, Devin Nunez, myself, Lee Smith, and others. So that's a benefit. And that production crew, they really, really, their eyes opened up wide. And that's what I believe is going to happen to everybody that watches this film.
Yeah, you mentioned the DVD. That's released or comes out April 9th. Is that correct?
Well, the DVDs you can pre-order now. We're actually still number one on Amazon. We're beating movies like Aquaman and Barbie and
nice.
And Willy Wonka too. Yeah, I mean, and we've just been doing. My marketing has been through people like yourself, Stephen, and your show, The Trump Daily, and through other podcasters. Those others that I just mentioned, they have the giant networks marketing for them. In fact, if you watch any of the basketball, March Madness, they're showing those, clips of those movies all the time. I mean, I can't compete against that, but yet we're still number one. So there's something about this film that that people want to hear and see. And I pray that continues to be the case, because I would love to have a majority of Americans in this country see this film, because they will stand up in a different way and get involved in our communities like they've never been involved in. I think once they've seen this film.
And I think I saw it on your website. You can get to the DVD through Amazon, obviously, but also Walmart and Target online. And then don't forget about the website as well. That's flynnmovie.com, and that gives you all the details. You can purchase the DVD through that as well, but that gives you all the details of the tour that General Flynn is going to be taking here in the next couple months. Any closing remarks?
No, I just don't want to say thank you, guys, and I really look forward to seeing you here in another couple of weeks.
That sounds great. We really appreciate you joining us today, and hopefully we can record another segment when you're here in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Plan on it. God bless. See ya.
You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is a very special edition of The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.